I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, if you're used to getting lots of information on ET Yoga, you'll not be disappointed. We're going to be talking about reality and creation and in detail, and then we'll be talking about reality creation and also tying you into some specific techniques that you can do to achieve that end. And we'll be comparing some personal experiences of my own as compared with those of Bashar and Mike Emery. And those will be related to talking about reality and creation. But before we get into all of that, we're going to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa Yoga. And Japa Yoga is mantra repetition. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Thank you.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. That was a clip from back in the 1970s. Sri Swami was one of my spiritual teachers. He passed on from this plane in 2002. And that Shanti, Shanti, Shanti at the end of that Japa Yoga means peace. I'd like to take this opportunity to give my gratitude and appreciation for the ET Yoga audience just for being you. As Bashar would say, you're already making the optimum difference on this planet just by being you, and others become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. And I might add that I much appreciate the growing numbers of ET Yoga audience listeners, and also very receptive to your emailing me concerning program content. And also, nothing makes my day more than hearing about your successes utilizing ideas and concepts and techniques that you hear about on this program. And in that regard, you can always email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca, or green, as in the color, at etyoga.com. And usually when I'm preparing for ET Yoga programs, there's an idea that captures my attention, and I usually follow it out to its logical conclusion. And tonight was no exception. Before I get into the details of reality and reality creation tonight, I'll give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical conditions. And for new listeners to ET Yoga, you should also know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. Now, back to the subject of tonight's program about reality and creation. Of course, ultimately, what we'd most like to talk about, there aren't any words for. As Swami Satchidananda would say, as many minds, as many gods. If you could define the infinite, then it wouldn't be infinite. And it's like when you take a cup to the ocean, it takes the shape of the cup. And similarly, when you experience the infinite, or all that is, or prime creator, or God, or whatever label you choose to define it as, it takes the shape of that mind. And to me, it's like we're all in the thoughts in the mind of God. And an example is, what are the Akashic Records? Because they are all the thoughts that have ever been thought in all universes and all possibilities arising from those thoughts. And the fact is that thought creates. And that, by the way, has been a theme that, in my opinion, many positive extraterrestrial groups have been passing on to this planet through channeled information for about the past 50 years or so. That has been the focus, that thought creates. And science now knows this also. And we know that the universe is holographic and fractal, and that it operates with the energy of consciousness, much like a giant reality creation computer program. And the language of interpretation of the program is belief. And all the methods for reality creation revolve around the idea of belief. And from the beliefs you've downloaded from your original caregivers to to the positive scenarios you attracted from positive holograms related to positive spin, to the actual manifestation of circumstances through creating yourself as a perfect match for those frequencies. All of this kind of goes together to create the outer reflection that you experience. But I might also add that these concepts cannot be totally achieved and understood through the mind. You can't figure it all out. That level and the highest levels can only be experienced. And of course, one of the great teachers on the planet, Sri Ramana Maharshi, also one of my teachers, I think gives some really good advice regarding that. When he says that for the substance of the mind, there is no other means more effective than self-inquiry. This is the direct method. All other methods are practiced while retaining the ego. Self-inquiry leads directly to self-realization by removing the obstacles which make you think that the self is not already realized. Meditation requires an object to meditate on, whereas in self-inquiry there is only the subject and no object. That's the difference between them. When asked, why should self-inquiry alone be considered the direct path to realization? Sri Ramana Maharshi answered, because every kind of path except self-inquiry presupposes the retention of the mind as the instrument for following it, and cannot be followed without the mind. The ego may take different and more subtle forms at different stages of one's practice, but it is never destroyed. The attempt to destroy the ego or the mind by methods other than self-inquiry is like a thief turning policeman to catch the thief that is himself. Self-inquiry alone can reveal the truth that neither the ego nor the mind really exists, and enables one to realize the pure, undifferentiated being of the self or the absolute. And that would be from Sri Ramana Maharshi's book, The Path of Self-Knowledge. I highly recommend that one. And also at the end of this program, I'll be sharing with you the main technique that he taught, which was the direct method of who am I, and that I like to share with the ET Yoga listening audience at the end of every one of my programs. Now, also interestingly enough, about back when I first started doing this program in about 2007, I came on the air with the concept that I picked up from Bashar, and it was called Prime Radiant. And at that time, you could not Google search a Prime Radiant and come up with anything because there wasn't anything to come up with. This is definitely a creative thought coming from Bashar. And if you're not familiar with Bashar, it's B-A-S-H-A-R. And this is an extraterrestrial who's channeled by Daryl Anka. And his concept was kind of very fascinating to me at the time. And I thought that as time goes on, that science will probably come around to his way of thinking. And one of the ways that he gives an example of how you might think of this concept of prime radiant is to think of there being only one particle or wave, and because nothing is either a particle or a wave, but a combination, but for the sake of explanation, we'll use the particle. And this particle has no mass and infinite speed, and also has consciousness. And a way to visualize this concept would be to think of you sitting in a dark room and this one particle being a light in the center of that room. And then you think of it moving over to another part of the room and leaving the place where it was. So the place where it was is now dark, and the other place is now light. And then you visualize in your mind this one particle traveling back and forth between the two places. And I think you'll eventually get the concept that it would be like if you move back and forth fast enough, it would appear to the eyes that the particles in both places are one. And the idea here that this particle can travel at infinite speed and thus create everything that we see in the visible universe. A very interesting concept at the time. Well, it so turns out that about, I don't know how many years, I guess almost 12 or 13 years later, I found some Bashar information that kind of gets into a little bit more detail regarding this concept. And it goes like this, from Bashar. Everything in creation are all one and the same in many aspects. And by the way, way back decades ago, I used to have a saying that was, you, me, everything, and nothing is all the same. So I really kind of liked his opening sentence. And he continues by stating that also at the same time, there's only one thing in creation. This is the first paradox and the reason for duality, polarity, and paradox effects in creation. How the one is the many and the many is the one. The Creator, Source, Prime Radiant, angels, stars, and you are made of exactly the same thing because there's only ultimately one thing in creation. We are just different perspectives of the different dimensions that were created, so the Prime Radiant can simply know itself. Imagine, if you will, in the beginning there was a particle, and this particle had no mass. Then imagine, on top of that the particle was conscious of itself. It was just consciousness. The particle was all there is. There was nothing else in existence. No physical reality, no stars, moons, or planets, or so-called life. There was no such concepts of time or space, not even a spirit realm. There was no afterlife because there was no life to precede it. The very first thing that happened in existence was for our source particle, our prime radiant, to have knowledge of itself, for it to think, I am. It could not move to or do anything because there was nothing to move to or anything to do yet. It needed to somehow create something else, but how? So it did the only thing it could do. It went within itself. It used its imagination and created the only thing it was aware of, a copy of itself. It was now able to experience itself via its imagination, that it was now two things. It would pretend that one of itself was over here and its other self was over there. It was ecstatic with itself because it had created this joyful new thing it could experience. The Prime Radiant had created time and space. Everything is contained within it, and it is the only thing, so its size is also as big as it needs to be. It just expands itself to fit what is needed. So by simply using its imagination and playing with itself, the Prime Radiant has created that it can be as big, as many, and as far as it needs to be. We know this as infinite in size, infinite in number, and infinite in speed. The Prime Radiant is simply infinite by nature. It now knew itself to be a creator being. It created other creator beings, and the creator beings created other creator beings, and new concepts and things to experience, and this goes on infinitely without limitation. This will never end because there is nothing to end it. All the experiences of what is being created is fed back through the line of beings who created it and back to the prime radiant, the source of everything. Each creator being would create whatever it wished, but eventually there would be some non-agreement on what, when, or how to create next, or even if something should be created. So something had to be done about this, and the prime radiant had to be the one to decide what to do. The decision was to organize. This decision to organize created the first dimensional level of split from the prime radiant. Dimensional because only an illusionary separation is possible. The first of 3D dimensions in reality. The first dimension that was other than the source, we know this as the angelic realm. The angels would organize and oversee the creator beings and all that was created. The things that were created and the process of creating things is called creation. No longer would the prime radiant have to manage an infinite number of creator beings. They would confer with the angelic realm. The prime radiant always was and always will be. It is eternal. Everything in existence is just a copy of the source from another perspective. Everything that exists is happening in the consciousness of the one being in existence. We, as part of existence, then, are a copy of source and are therefore also infinite and eternal. It now makes perfect sense that it is said that we are made in the image of the Creator. It also becomes perfectly clear what is meant by the writings on the Great Pyramid, which state, "Man, know thyself." All concepts, emotions, materials, and life derived from the prime radiant, playing with all the possibilities and perspectives of itself. We are all one. You and I are part of an illusionary dimension created by Source so that it can experience itself from this particular perspective. It is a never-ending process as it makes everything it can imagine possible. That's why it has been said, "I, Magi, nation, we are a nation of magicians." And I think that's a pretty right-on information. And I'm going to relate that next to a personal experience of mine that I took notes from. And it was actually an experience of Prime Creator, just past the level of when the one particle was created. And it was in response to an article by, I think his name, first name was David Hawking, because he wrote an article called "No God Behind the Big Bang." And this was my reply to that, which I also shared on my ET Yoga radio program about 13 years ago. And it goes like this. "Recently, we have seen the mainstream media support Hawking's false assumption that there's no God behind the Big Bang and put out fear concerning the eventual contact with extraterrestrial life. I've been asked by my readers for my take on this. First of all, in India, there is a stage of spiritual development when the seeker experiences the higher levels of consciousness or oneness with the energy of creation or prime creator or God or whatever label one desires to define the infinite. Swami Satchidananda has said, as many minds, as many gods. The finite can never be defined in the infinite, but it can be experienced. I first had that experience and kept notes on it. Some of my notes are as follows. First, there is a God. God has no name, no form, nor shape, yet all shapes. God exists beyond time and space and yet in it. God has no beginning and no end. It just is. It is eternal life and infinite love. Time and space exist in the mind of man. No man can understand the infinite with a finite mind. The infinite can never become finite. But when the mind is completely still, man's mind can merge and experience self-realization. A man's mind can only relate this experience according to his own capacity. For example, if you take a cup to the ocean, it will take the shape of the cup. Similarly, if you take a mind to the infinite, it will take the shape of the mind. Actually, there's only one God, but it takes the shape of each individual mind. For my mind, it's like we're all thoughts in the mind of God. It's impossible to describe exactly what it is like. Ram Dass would say that what we would most like to talk about, there aren't any words for. It can only be experienced. Reincarnation and karma are fact. What we carry over from lifetime to lifetime is our level of consciousness and our karma, which is the good and negative attachments we have accumulated. As you sow, so shall you reap is exactly true. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. This is a scientific fact. It is also a fact with our thoughts and actions. The universe has three phases: active, passive, and neutral. In the beginning, there is a void or neutral state. This energy becomes activated by an internal polarization, causing creation, the sound, humming. In this active state, there is no exact description, as again, it takes the shape of the mind. To me, it is similar to God wanting to know himself. Then there's the knowing, then just being. And from God's standpoint, creation and its devolution are in a twinkling of an eye. From the highest levels to it's all illusion, and higher yet, it just is. The energy was never created, nor can it end. Similar to doing something during the day, sitting and being aware, and then going to sleep. Rising with I am, the thought I is the first to appear and the last to disappear. The mind is like a woven cloth. When you pull out all the threads, there's nothing there. Yet the real you still is. Like a big eye and a little eye. When the little eye shuts up, the big eye kicks in. It's very difficult to explain, but you don't lose your individuality. When your thoughts stop, you don't fall through your mind into a deep pit. You still have awareness, and the energy levels are enormous. The bliss makes any physical feeling trivial. The closest approximation would be sex. It is like a glimpse of a larger unity with corresponding feeling. Every person has the potential to experience this unity. Unlike traditional Western theology, which in many cases tries to make it sound like Christ was the only Son of God, and when you die there is a judgment and you go to heaven or hell, the real point should be to attain a unity with the level of Christ consciousness while living. That's the purpose of being here. And also many others have attained this level of consciousness. So those are direct notes that I made after having an experience at this level. And I also wanted to share with you some concepts that have been passed on related to that by Mike Emery. Because Mike Emery is involved with bubble tech or Oregon energy. And according to Mike, the first uniform field is space. And then the infinite honeycombs, which is the ether within which all things are projected. And this field is two-dimensional. This field manifested in space because of the rule. And the rule, according to him, is like attracts like, which more than likely was expressed by space as I am that I am. Then came the Anu, which is an energy form that manifests within the honeycomb, and the Anu is everywhere the same because this energy mirrors itself. Then the Anus form arrays, and Anus that reflect each other, forming mirror images of arrays. As these arrays continue to mirror, they must do so according to the rule. and thus curve back on themselves, forming donuts or toroids, which are the root energy shape of matter. These toroids or donuts are the building blocks of matter and are three-dimensional. These toroidal things move around in the honeycomb of ether by means of a jitterbug motion. We now know that matter literally blinks out of this realm and then back into it all of the time, thus spending half of its time in space getting its instructions and the blinking back into this realm as instructed by space or God. Atoms and subatomic particles are anus and can be photographed as such. An anu has an empty center, which is always connected to space. So anus are always in touch with space, but the toroids are one step removed from this divine connection. And as explained elsewhere, the particles of Alaine, and that's A-L-A-I-N, Alaine Aspects Experiment, are either electrons or protons, which are anus, and through their connection to space are always connected to one another. So despite moving away from each other at twice the speed of light, the two particles can indeed communicate, but more precisely are just a portion of the uniform field and thus act in harmony with one another as if they are one and the same particle, despite their apparent separation. And I think this is really cool because basically he's saying is that this I am that I am, in between the I am and that I am, according to Mike Emery, is what he calls the gap. And this gap is the same as consciousness, and very similar to Bashar's concept. And it is all nonpolar and electromagnetic. And this 2D energy automatically includes gap energy, which is love, and it is very healing. And that gap energy is nonpolar electromagnetic energy that is produced by capacitors, superconductors, polarized light, monochromatic light, lasers, and several other simple devices. And the anus are droplets of time, basically a DNA spiral, and it surrounds everything. And the anu creates toroids, which create vibrations. And the anu is 2D. And to have noise, that would be in 3D. And our aura, according to Mike Emery, is 2D. There's no frequency to it. Energy that leaves the body at the death is also 2D, and according to him, it can be measured. When a person dies, this energy leaves the body, but there's not a frequency to it. And I might add that he says that you go through the anu to formlessness or God, and four-sided ethers exist in the quantum world, and what we see are six-sided ethers. And this is information from Mike Emery, and he also states that apparently there were three satellites that were sent up and that all the galaxies in the observable universe lay out in concentric circles from Earth. Very interesting idea here, and one that's also consistent with what Alex Collier states. When he says that, according to, he's an Andromedan contactee, and he states that Earth actually holds the polarity of the universe. Quite a fascinating concept. I might also add that Bashar also talks a bit about reality. He usually states that reality, that there is no such thing as an objective reality, that reality is the experience, and although that there is the idea of a consensus reality. And according to one of our top physicists right now, Tom Campbell, he says that our reality is virtual, not real. It is pixelated and constantly being reproduced like the movie on a computer screen. And so I think all of them are basically saying the same thing here. And even an ordinary word such as experience in the Esasani language has a very deep meaning. The Esasani word for experience is I-L-L-I, Ili, Akar, A-K-A-R. Ili means mirror or anything that reflects back ideas, feelings, thoughts, and images. And Akar, A-K-A-R, means consciousness. So what better concept or definition of experience is there than for it to be considered as a mirror of consciousness? One state of being or condition of consciousness is reflected as the sort of reality or life that one creates is apparent in the meaning of this word, Iliakar, mirror of consciousness. What one experiences is dictated by the definitions and belief systems in one's consciousness. Like a hologram, the entire universe reflects to the observer some aspect of one's consciousness. Good thoughts, loving vibrations affect the behavior of particles around oneself in a positive, mathematically harmonious way, while negative emotions tend to disrupt the harmony of surrounding particles, tending to attract more negative outcomes than positive. And Bashar also finds deep meaning in the words from our language. In the word imagination, he sees I, magi, and nation, or a nation of magicians. He wishes to help us understand how powerful we really are in our imagination. The potentials of imagination are huge, and Bashar wants to teach us exactly how imagination can be used for creating wonderful changes. Another example is you, as in Y-O-U, universe. Everything is you, and there really is nothing outside of all that which is you, which is everywhere and dwells in every living thing, especially in all the family, friends, strangers, and acquaintances one comes into contact with. Whatever conflicts one has in life can only be in oneself, because absolutely no other reality, force, or aspect exists outside of you. There's only you, and all that you experience is nothing but reflections of all that you have put into the universe. And that would also be very consistent with, in the old days, from Baba Ram Dass. Clearly, he used to say that the only one person you ever hang out with is you. And also relating to the Matrix, Bashar says that what we perceive as outer reality is not real. There really is nothing out there. It's all a projection of our consciousness, reflecting to us our state of being in physical terms to help us grow and rediscover who we really are from a new perspective. And on the path of rediscovering who we really are, we're still expanding our definitions and belief systems, which do not always work out to our advantage. But with a certain time lag, we get the respective feedback from our reality projections that show us in 3D that we are still operating on belief systems which are not conducive to our growth. Hence, the unpleasant events we may encounter in our lives and the atrocities that sometimes we see on television. Clearly, experiences matter. They are real, but our reality isn't. And further in conjunction with that kind of thinking, Bashar on physical reality isn't by itself real, except the experience of it is. Physical reality and everything you experience in your life is created, whether you know it or not, whether you are conscious of it or not, through what you imagine your reality to be. Your beliefs, obviously, your definitions, obviously, play a part. Your emotions play a part. Your thoughts play a part. But it is your beliefs, your emotions, and your thoughts that all wrap together into the triangle of your personality prism. And once it locks together in that triangle is the template of the imagination that activates your reality. That's the conduit through which you send those beliefs, definitions, emotions, and thoughts up to the realm of the higher self, where manifestation is immediate and instantaneous, and energy is all-pervasive. Then the higher self, the higher mind, sends that thought, reflects it back through the imagination to the physical mind, and gives it to you in terms of the passion of your true self, so that by simply acting on it, by simply following your passion, the higher self lets you know, this is the wish you have sent me. Translated it into the language of the higher mind, you do it and you act it out. And you will be speaking the language of the higher mind. You will be blended and harmonized as the physical mind and the higher mind into the holistic being, one holistic person, that can reflect that relationship into manifestation in an imagination reality that is being created by you. It is just a mirror. That's all it is. It's just reflecting back what you imagine it can be. That's all it is. And I might note that if you're familiar with Marilyn and Merlin the Magician, I think this is a nice connection here, too, because when you think about Bashar's first concept of prime radiant and the original one particle, how did it manifest when it was the only thing that was in existence? It used its imagination. And clearly, imagination is a tool for creating. And this comes from the website at Creating Camelot, the Creating Camelot Club, actually. And it goes like this, from Merlin. When you first focus on a desire for something you do not have, you may resonate with the perspective of not having it. You can create an energy shift to bring that which you desire into your experience by waving the wand of your limitless imagination. When you imagine that you are already experiencing what you desire, you are experiencing fulfillment. You are drinking from the Holy Grail. To master this concept of magic, practice continuously. When you master the craft of fulfilling your dreams first from within, those dreams must become physical reality. See yourself receiving what you want by imagining that it is already there. If you find yourself imagining just to get something, what you are saying is that you don't have that something. You are telling the universe to give you more of what you do not have. You present yourself with a gift when you can sense the presence of a desire fulfilled. Pretending is not a popular pastime, but here I see a new trend. As you tend to pretending, you become as children entering the kingdom of heaven. And I highly, highly recommend that website. It's called the Creating Camelot Club. So I'd like to bring this all kind of around into a positive conclusion here. And that conclusion relates to some new discoveries by Mike Emery. And it deals with what they call, I guess, organic energy. It's basically organite, and or organ energy, O-R-G-O-N-E. And I've started to become familiar with some of this because I have some organ pyramids. And I might add that I've already noticed they're quite useful. Number one is I've seen them disperse chemtrails. They're very good with pest control. According to Mike, what these organ pyramids do, they take negative energy and convert it into positive. So I plan on having, actually I have four in my house right now. I'm hoping to have eight, so that everywhere kind of has this energy. And I might add that he also states, I haven't tested this yet, although I do have some plants growing that are exceptionally large for the amount of time they've been growing. He claims that there can be as much as a tenfold increase in crop production if the field is surrounded in by these Oregon pyramids. And it also has implications because I'm sure much of the ET Yoga listening audience is maybe challenged by the 5G effects. And if you do some research into this subject, you'll appreciate that many of the side effects of 5G are very negative towards health. And an Oregon environment will transmute these negative aspects of the 5G into positive energy. And hint, hint, I've also heard, doing some other research, not according to Mike Emery, but from other sources that have stated that Oregon energy can also protect one from viruses. So you're getting a real heads up on things by listening to tonight's show, if you can catch on to that hint. I might also add that with respect to reality creation, what Mike's basically saying is that this 2D energy that's created in his, what he calls bubble technology, and that you can go online and research bubble tech and Mike Emery, and you can find on YouTube specific directions for making a bubble. And the bubble can be made in, and I've made one, in a flower pot. I guess I went a little bit expensive on mine. Total cost was about $150, but I used Lemurian crystals, Andara crystals, regular crystals, shungite, diatomaceous earth, sand, charoite, activated charcoal, bits of copper and metal shavings. I kind of try to put a little bit of honey is in mine, just a drop. The idea here being that you're using some layers of plaster Paris, or you can also use cement, and you make these three layers, and this gap energy exists between the layers. It's similar to the invention that Royal Rife used to cure people from cancer. So it also has huge health benefits. And one of the ways that Mike uses it is because this energy is 2D, so it's basically seed-level energy. Okay, we're talking about the void, and in the void was the I am that I am. The gap energy exists in, like, it is space. It is the void. It was shocking to me because I've always thought of higher consciousness is going like we go 3D, 4D, 5D, and then in 5D, I know that in 5D, anything that you imagine is instantly manifested. And it was shocking to me, actually, to be confronted with a new concept here, that this 2D energy is actually called the euphoric energy. It's nonpolar, and it's like all time, no time, no space, all space. It's like planting a seed in the garden of source energy. So it's similar to, like, if you took a tomato seed and put it into a flower pot and it grew into a seed. This idea of manifestation is by putting your intentions into this field, into the bubble. You can manifest from there. And apparently several people sometimes work together and they get a picture of someone that's needing some healing. And the technique is there's a breathing technique that you need to do some research about. And you do the breathing technique that builds up your own chi a bit. And then you imagine yourself with this person in the bubble, spinning in a clockwise rotation, or dancing, as he calls it. You dance with them inside the bubble and visualize that I am sending them euphoric energy. And some of the results have been just absolutely amazing. I guess there's a I'm not involved with any social media, so but I understand that there is a Bubble Tech social media group, and you can you know, check into that and see some of the amazing things that are happening. Some of the people in the group are also involved with making sure that hurricanes don't reach land masses. And apparently since the Puerto Rico, apparently there haven't been any that reached land, at least according to Mike. So this has lots of applications, and it's not just applications in healing. It can be for other things as well. So this is another very practical method in terms of reality creation. And, of course, I usually talk about three levels of reality creation, first being the beliefs that you got, that you downloaded from your original caregivers. Then the second level of reality creation is placing positive spin on outer circumstances, because no events happen with built-in meanings. You have a definition, and a positive emotional spin will create a positive experience, and a negative definition and a negative emotional spin will create a negative experience. Then to me, the third level of reality creation is when you're not dealing with a particular circumstance, but you're creating a new circumstance. And this is that level, to me, is a lot trickier based on the concepts that the thought and the energy that you put out, you try to imagine the experience as already having been achieved, and giving thanks, appreciation, and gratitude for already having received whatever it is that you're trying to manifest. That is key. Also relates to Greg Braden's Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes that you can see on YouTube, about the woman from America with an inoperable tumor who goes to a Qigong center in Beijing, China, and three master practitioners make her tumor dissolve in 3 minutes, and that's all on video. And even you can watch the dissolving of the tumor on video as well. So this is one of the methods, and clearly putting intention into a 2D field is also obviously another method of doing manifestation. So I guess by studying some of this Oregon energy, I knew about it for maybe, you know, I don't know how many years ago, but I always associated it with chemtrail busting and that kind of thing. But I was amazed at the amount of knowledge that Mike Emery has. He, by the way, claims to be associated in past lifetimes as Merlin. So an interesting guy to check out. He's got also, he's claims that this technology is also in the Bible codes, and that it is clearly a very positive thing for humanity, and this technology is available. It's just a question of doing a little bit of work and a little bit of research. Speaking of, things went a little too fast for people on this program. You can always go to my website at etyoga.com. And on the main page, there's a button there called Radio Archives, and you can listen to this show at your leisure. Just push the button at Radio Archives, and it'll take you right to the list of most recent programs. Tonight's program will appear probably late Monday, and then you can listen to the show at your leisure and do your own research. I'd also like to take this opportunity to wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, And in closing, I'll share with you the Who Am I technique, where you get to the highest place you know how to get to and place your focus in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then when you become that spot, you ask the question, who am I? And you can do that once or 10 times or whatever's comfortable. But the main idea here is to become that spot and then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.